Welcome to Well-ish.
What does it mean to be well-ish?
Rejecting the illusion that you have to be perfect to be enough.
Embracing the messy, the real, and the in-between.
Growth without obsession.
Self-care without guilt.
Improvement without the pressure to be flawless.
Because wellness isn't about perfection. It's about showing up as you are and knowing that's already enough.
This is Well-ish.
Unlike so many self-improvement videos, this one is not to fix you. It is to let you know that you are perfectly okay right now as you are. There is this constant pressure to be strong and unbothered and productive and confident and validate yourself and trust yourself. And, you know, the list is endless of what we're told we should have, what we should get better at. That's true. I mean, you should work on those things. You should be building your mental strength. You should be building your emotional intelligence. You should be working to become the best version of yourself that you can be, the version of yourself that you picture in your head. But the catch-22 is by doing that, it creates this shame spiral around basic human needs, around basic human, normal, natural feelings. I want to give you guys a cute little pep talk for when you feel tired of being a project. It's for the moments that you feel you're falling behind or you're not moving forward fast enough in your self-improvement journey. Let this be a reminder that you are enough just because you exist and that reassurance doesn't make you weak. It means you're alive. So this is the reminder you didn't know you needed. We're going to be talking about three different things in this episode. Number one being the constant pressure for progress. Then I'm going to talk about the things that get lost in the race to improve. And then I'm going to give you some cute little reminders so that you can know and see and feel that you are okay exactly as you are. So without further ado, let's get into it. It is undeniable that there is this pressure for constant progress. Let it be just because we're humans and we always want to level up and have a better life. Or let it be that we're constantly exposed to everybody else's success on a regular basis. We can see everybody's life sitting in our own home, and it makes us feel like we're not doing things right. We're not on the right path. And that can make self-improvement just another form of performance. You think that if you're not acting in alignment with what has been determined as like wellness girly or self-improvement girly, confident girly, whoever it is that you're trying to level up to, that you're falling behind. Or it just simply makes you feel like something's wrong with you and you want so badly to be at this next version of yourself. And for whatever reason, you just cannot grasp onto it. You can do a little bit and be a little consistent, but then you fall back into your old patterns. You think like, oh, okay, I really think my confidence is improving. And then you have an awkward conversation with someone and you're like overthinking and spiraling about everything that you said. You feel good. You feel stable. You feel like you're in control of your life. You feel like you're not pressuring yourself to do anything crazy. And then suddenly shit hits the fan and something happens in your life that derails you. And you're like, whoa, where am I going? I'm reverting back to old patterns, old habits. I was feeling so good. I just want to get back to feeling so good. Why is this happening? Why am I not feeling good? Why can't I make myself feel good? And that slipping, that's what I want to normalize. Like slipping back into old habits is a normal thing to happen. Slipping back into doubting yourself is normal. Slipping back into the craving to be loved is normal. What's not normal in any sort of emotion and any sort of the things that we're going to be covering today is these feelings in the extreme. It's when you cannot control yourself. It's when you have no self-soothing tools to pull yourself out and make yourself feel better. But the slipping back into old ways is a normal thing. You are not going to be a perfect person. Nobody is a perfect version of themselves. The most independent person wants and craves to feel love and wants to feel wanted. Having basic human emotions and feelings and thoughts does not make you a less evolved version of you. One of the important things too is the awareness behind it. If you aren't aware that what you're feeling are these human normal emotions, that's when a lot of the time we get sucked into this spiral of feeling like we're not where we're supposed to be, or like we haven't leveled up to the versions of ourselves we picture in our head. The true, genuine reality of it is you're not supposed to have a perfect, flawless self-esteem every single day for the rest of your life until the day you die. That's not real life. That is a marketing fantasy. Let's talk about the things that get lost in the race to improve. I did make a list of 8 things, but this list, I swear to God, could have been endless. I had so many ideas of what could be on this list. So this is probably going to be like an ever-evolving video because I can't fit everything into one episode. But here are some major ones that I think are really important to be aware of. The very first thing that's a very normal human feeling, no matter how much you self-improve, it's possible you will still feel bits of this, is jealousy. It is normal to see somebody living a life or having something, looking a certain way, and wanting that for yourself and feeling that tinge of envy inside of you. It's possible you will always feel the jealousy. Sometimes it'll be bigger than other times. Sometimes you might not feel it. Sometimes you'll have a problem with it. The goal, again, is to make sure you are not allowing it to consume you and you are not acting irrationally out of jealousy. But feeling it in your own heart, that is very normal. Jealousy is your tough love friend. She is your roadmap in order to get you where you want to be in your life. You have to be able to have the level of awareness to say to yourself that you're feeling jealous, not ignoring the jealousy and suppressing it and shoving it away and making it not exist, because the only thing that does with jealousy and any emotion is cause it to fester further. When you just accept it and you say, okay, I'm feeling jealous right now. First of all, immediately that feeling feels better. You feel more satiated. And then you can say to yourself, why am I feeling jealous? What things do they have that I want that's causing me to feel this way that I can work towards incorporating into my life? I read something the other night too that said that jealousy is always a form of fear. And I thought that was really interesting because a lot of the time we think we recognize jealousy for what it is, but it's possible it could show up in different feelings, like in anger or in judgment. It is sneaky and it like hides behind those feelings that you don't even realize that they're jealousy. But anything that is fear-based is where jealousy comes from. The next thing that gets lost in the race to improve is that you can only act with the knowledge and the resources that you have. Now, when I originally hear this, the thing that first pops into my head is, you know, of course, you can only act as far as you know. And until you become aware, until you learn more about yourself, until you learn more about life, then you start to behave differently. If you think of a past version of yourself and how she would have shown up, even like a super simple example, you look at your old Instagram posts and you're like, ew, what? Like, that's the cringiest thing. You look at pictures of your outfits in high school and you're like, why the fuck did I wear that? And the truth is like, now you know better, so you do better. But I actually want to talk about this on a little bit deeper of a level, especially with this added part of not just you can only act as far as your knowledge, but that you can only act as far as your resources. Let me paint a picture for you. I was talking to my friend the other day and she was like, did you ever go to those friends' houses that they always just put the dishes in the dishwasher and they never had the pile in their sink? And I was like, that was my house. Like, my house was always like that, okay? And so we were talking about it further and how she doesn't even notice her doomed dish pile because she's so used to living in a home since she was born that has the doomed dish pile. Where when I see my doomed dish pile, it doesn't stay that way for very long. I think my last one I had was about a week. I just cleaned it last night, which, I mean, that's still a little while. You know what? She's going through it currently, so let's not judge her. But really, I swear to God, when I, like, let's say before my life changed, I would say the doomed dish pile wouldn't last more than a couple days because I know in my brain that that's not what the standard for the house is. So I can only act as far as I'm aware. And when you don't have that level of awareness, you do have to make extra effort than other people to change that habit, to change that resource. This is why we see generational wealth continue to happen, because when you have parents that are wealthy and they know how to attain wealth, they know how to accumulate wealth, they know how to maintain wealth, they know even the language in order to become this person and live in this lifestyle, it's very normal for people from that to live within their bracket of what they believe and know to be possible. Where people that come from less income or a more middle class normal income amount is kind of where they hit their ceiling, because they don't have the resources and the knowledge in order to step up into that next version, because it's not just automatically integrated into their life. You actually have to work harder in order to achieve those goals. We could incorporate this into anything. People that continue to choose the wrong partner maybe had to do with the love that you experienced growing up. Your level of mental wellness can be capped because you see toxic behavior and drama as a normal part of life, and you don't realize that those things aren't normal because it's all you know, it's all you've seen, it's all you've experienced. So you can only act as far as your awareness goes. So always continue to expand your awareness, and you will continue to expand your knowledge and your resources, but you can't get mad at yourself for not being there yet. Trust the process. Know that you will work towards where you want to be. The fact that you are aware that it's something you don't like and you want to improve is the first step in getting there, but you aren't aware of things until you are. Our next very human feeling is to want to feel validated or reassured. We are so told that you should be independent. You should be self-sufficient. You should not need validation from other people. You should not need reassurance from other people. And that's true. You shouldn't need it. You shouldn't need it to survive. You shouldn't need it to know you're enough. You shouldn't need it to feel fulfilled in your own heart. You do have to look inward and be able to do that for yourself. But if you want a little validation once in a while, that's not a big deal. Not even once in a while. You could want validation every single day. And that doesn't mean that you're a less improved version of yourself. It means that you have the basic human feeling of wanting to belong. Again, this is another big one that you have to control. You cannot let it control you. You cannot feel like you are not worthy if you don't receive validation and reassurance. You have to feel like you are so worthy that it should come naturally to the people that love you to validate and reassure you, and that you deserve that validation and reassurance. There are also days that you might want it a little bit more than other times. There might be times that you feel depleted by something in your life, and you're going to crave that connection and validation and reassurance more than other times. It feels good to be validated and to know that other people are on the same page as you and they feel the same way about you that you do about them. My next very normal human feeling is to want revenge and to feel sad when they don't get the revenge that they deserve. Very normal. Let me explain what's not normal. What's not normal is to act on the revenge. The feeling of wanting it, normal. Going out and putting salt in somebody's gas tank or slashing their tires or sabotaging something in their life, not normal. You have to control it, not let it control you. But for someone to do you wrong and for you to have these feelings of, God, I hope they enter anything that would make you feel satiated that they got hurt too, it's valid. It's a very normal thing to feel. We don't want to sit alone in our misery. We want the people that caused us harm to also feel harm too, because it's not fair that you have to just sit there and take it and do it alone. And a lot of the time, the people that we want revenge for will really never truly get it. And it's okay to be disappointed about that. Let's use an extreme example. If an entire building of child rapists was blown up, that still would not be the revenge that they deserved. Would we be like, woohoo, those people deserve to die? Maybe. It wouldn't be enough to fulfill this revenge thing. And like, that's the thing with the revenge. And that's why there has to be control over those feelings, because even when the revenge happens, it doesn't take your pain away. It doesn't fix your hurt. So there's no point in the actual act in revenge. It only contributes to the pain that you feel. But to have those initial feelings, very normal. And it doesn't mean that you're less healed because you're not like, goodbye, love you, I forgive you, everything is wonderful. I'm grateful that you're not in my life anymore and I feel no pain. You know, I let things come and go and flow into my life and come into my life as I see fit. And it's just wonderful and happiness and sunshine and rainbows. No, it's not reality. We work towards those things. We work towards those feelings so that we can feel free in our own heart. But you're not going to be like that 100% of the time. This leads me into my next point, one that I have realized really wildly in my life changing, is misery loves company. That is a very normal human feeling for when you're miserable to want other people to be miserable. And before my life changed, I would hear that and I would think, those people are miserable. Like, that's crazy. How could you go out and try to bring other people down just because you are miserable? I didn't understand it. And then I was watching Vanderpump Rules and I was watching Sheena get married and I was watching Katie and Tom get married. And I couldn't help but, and I'm not like a spoiler girly, like I don't want to know, but I couldn't help but Google, did they last? Are they still married? And I can't tell you the joy in my heart when I found out that both couples got divorced. And that's horrible to be wishing for other people's relationships to fall apart and being happy when that does. But because I was miserable with my life, I wanted the validation that I wasn't alone. Here's the difference: being aware, letting it control you. If I was going to sit here and not be aware that I'm doing, if I'm not aware that misery loves company, if I'm not aware that I feel bad in myself, and so that's why I'm looking to see where other people's lives have gone wrong, that's when less aware people start to hurt people. They do it without any knowledge of it. That goes back to our second point. You can only act with as much knowledge and resources that you have. This is what it is. Like, if you don't have the knowledge that you are miserable, and so that's why you're bringing other people down or you're looking into other people's demise, we let it start to control us. So you can imagine when not self-aware people, when bad people who are really miserable do things, you can see the possibility behind this. But it is very normal for when you are hurt and you are feeling badly that you want proof that you're not alone. My next one, I am elated to share with you, because if someone had said this to me, it would have given me the biggest deep breath. It is normal to care what other people think. You don't need this, I don't give a shit about what other people think mentality that we are shoved into thinking that we do. It is a very normal thing to want other people's approval and to want to be validated by other people. You're probably getting sick of me saying this by now, but the same thing applies. It's when you let it control you, when you let it become overconsuming, when it's the only thing you think about, when you can only behave in alignment with what other people will say and think of you, is when it is a problem. It's when it starts to control how you show up in the world. You're not posting the silly little TikTok because you're worried about what people say to you. You're not standing up for yourself in conversation because you're worried of what someone will think of you. You're not putting on the funky pair of shoes because you think this isn't what everybody else is wearing. That's the problem. But putting on the funky pair of shoes and being like, I wonder what somebody thinks, but then doing it anyways, it's a normal thing. It's a normal thing to be worried about. It's a normal thing to care about what the people you love think of you, that you want to make sure that you're showing up for them. You're not going to cross a magical threshold that suddenly other people's opinions don't penetrate your bubble, that you literally go out and don't think about it ever and don't care about it at all. What will happen is over time, as you build your self-trust, your self-validation, your confidence, that you will be able to feel those feelings and act in alignment with yourself anyways. I mentioned this at the beginning, and it really does apply to all of them. But this next one is normalizing relapsing into old behaviors. It's something that's very normal. It's something that you might take a few steps forward and then take a few steps back, or you might take a few steps forward and then stay there for a little while and then move forward again. It's very normal to fluctuate how you are living your life. When things come up in your life, when things don't, when your energy is just a little bit lower, when things stop serving you the way that they used to, because that is a real thing that happens, when you start to be redirected, you know, all of these moments could be things that you are relapsing into old habits. It took me a really long time to start doing a skincare routine in the morning and at night. I used to be the girly that never took her makeup off when she would go to sleep. I never washed my face. I never moisturized. I didn't do anything like that. I went all through high school and college that way. And then I started maybe my senior year wanting to wash my face a little bit more. I wanted to clear my skin up because I had acne and I didn't like it. And so I was trying to make this change, and I would do it when I was feeling good and with motivation, but I would always fall off, and then I would go weeks without doing it. And then maybe I would do it for a few days and then I would fall off again. And it wasn't until 2022 that I actually started consistently washing my face every night and every morning when I went to bed and I woke up. It does feel, when I look back on it, like one day I was able to just make the change, but I can see that it was a process. It was me constantly wanting to make that change. It was me being aware that I wanted to make that change. It was me taking small steps to try to make that change. It was me buying different fun skincare sets to motivate me to do it, and then falling off of those. But eventually I got better and better at it. And guess what? I don't always wash my face every day. Most days I do. But I don't do it every day. There would be times, it's mostly at night, that like there would be times in my old life when I just wanted to go sit on the couch and watch TV, or I just wanted to get into bed, that I would just skip it altogether and just go relax and not do it early enough. So then I was like falling asleep and I wasn't interested in doing it. And then now in this new period of my life, I obviously am going through a very emotional time and I needed to just rest. And like this last week, I haven't been washing my face. Today I did. Today was the first time I washed my face in probably like a week. And that's just normal. It's just how it goes. You're not going to be perfect at something every single day until the day you die. And this applies to anything. It can be something physical out in the world, like exercising, eating right, washing your face, but it can also be, or even things out in the physical, like being bubbly and talking to people and being extroverted and asking questions and putting yourself out there. Like maybe you do that for a little while and then you think like, oh, well, I got to revert back. Like I've got to reel it in. You lose the energy to do it. But it can also be things, you know, inside of your mind. Maybe there's times that you feel less anxiety, you're overthinking less, and then sometimes it gets ramped back up and you start to overthink things again. And then it, you know, it maybe lessens back again, and it never completely goes away. Probably there are probably still times that even if it's not you overthinking like these big major things about your life, but you're just overthinking the small awkward conversation you have with the barista, that it doesn't ever actually completely go away. It's just that you're able to get a handle on it. You're able to self-soothe a little bit better. But the important thing is to allow the ebb and flow. My last one that I have that I think gets lost in the race to improve is triggers. Our triggers are our own responsibility, and we sometimes even get triggered by feeling triggered because we think, oh no, like why is that still triggering me? But the truth is all it is a little magnifying glass on what wounds we still have to work towards healing. That's why our triggers are our own responsibility, because we can't control what happens in life. We can't control what things come up in life, but we can control the noticing. We can allow ourselves to notice what made us feel that tinge of emotion, that tinge of a trigger, so that we can say, oh man, I obviously still have some healing to do in that area, and work towards healing it. But just like anything else, it's possible that things won't always go away, or one thing will go away and now you'll have a new wound and that will trigger you a little bit. It's an ever-evolving process. It's not something that you're going to reach a point that you never feel a trigger ever, ever, ever again, because you're always going to be experiencing things in your life. You would have to live in a white box with nothing happening in your life to get to a space that nothing could ever trigger you. Not just because there would be nothing in the white box to trigger you, but also because there would be nothing new creating new things that could cause triggers later on. Allow the triggers to do the work for you. Welcome the triggers and say, I am going to be aware of them so that I know where I can look inward and do a little bit more healing so I can become a better version of myself. I can become a more mentally strong, mentally resilient version of myself. I can become a more emotionally intelligent and insightful version of myself. Here's what I want to remind you right now. You are not behind. You're not doing anything wrong. You're doing the best that you can with the capacity and the knowledge that you have right in this moment today. You don't have to earn softness or care or love. As long as you show up in the world as a kind, thoughtful, empathetic person, then you deserve to feel that back for yourself. And the people that don't give those things to you will eventually be weeded out of your life. You're allowed to want to be loved and seen and heard, even when you can do all of those things for yourself. You're not weak for forgetting your worth. That's why we have this awesome ability to remind each other. You're already doing so much just by being here. You don't have to prove anything to anyone, to me, to your favorite influencer on the internet, that you can be just like them. You don't have to prove anything to anyone. Allow yourself to just show up as a person today. Everyone deserves the gentle reminder that being human doesn't mean that they're doing anything wrong and that they deserve to feel enough just as they are. So make sure to share it with somebody you love so that they can receive the message as well. If you enjoyed this episode, please, please, please make sure to leave a rate and review. It really helps the show a lot. And if you want more content that makes you feel like you can level up to the version of yourself you picture in your head without the pressure to be perfect, make sure to subscribe to the show. For lifestyle content, you can follow me on my personal Instagram at sarah.rittendale. And for all of your progress, not perfection tips, make sure to check out at Wellish Podcast on Instagram and on TikTok. Thank you so much for being here with me today. I love you so, so, so much. And I will talk to you next time.